The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Those words from Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4. Good morning and welcome to the Vines Uniting Church. Whether you're here in the building or watching online, we pray that God will speak to you this morning. Several years ago, I did the Alpha Course, which was created to emphasize the essentials that all denominations agree on, with the belief that what unites us is infinitely greater than what divides us. By focusing on the essentials of the Christian faith, it opens the door for Alpha to be used in almost any context so that everyone has the opportunity to see their friends' lives transformed by the gospel. Now in it, Nikki Gumbel, who used to lead it, describes a way using the acronym ACTS to pray. The A stands for adoration. The C is for confession. The T for thanksgiving, and the S is for supplication, or everything else. I would like to class the first four elements of the service this morning as those four elements of prayer. So please either remain seated or stand, take your pick, as we begin our prayer this morning with a song of adoration for the might of God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. There is nothing good in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto men in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of his name.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love.
Dear Lord, we come together once more to give you thanks and praise for all the blessings which you shower upon us. Too often we look at the things we don't have rather than at the things we do have. We look to you for our hope and assistance as we bring our prayers before you now. Father, our world still seems to be out of control at times. Sometimes we surrender to feeling sad, unsafe, disorientated. Our sense of security can feel shattered. But even though we know we can't go back to the way things were, we need your help to take each step mindfully and to be open to change in our lives. Show us how to stay close and open our hearts to each other, so that with courage and conviction, we will continue to get through these difficult times. We also ask your caring protection in the desperate situation that continues in India. We are ever mindful how difficult even such a thing as social distancing might be to them, how having access to clean water and sanitation brings a whole new level of difficulty to an already fraught situation. We pray for the miracle of world peace as war and hardship continues to spread around the globe. May those leaders who make the important decisions in these areas do so with wisdom and a sense of real cooperation with their neighbours. Closer to home, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of much-needed rain. There are many areas which badly needed these good soaking rains, and we pray that they may continue to aid our farmers and bring relief to any areas which have been suffering with the recent dust storms and drought conditions. We pause again to bring before you, Lord, those who have lost loved ones or are dealing with illness, change, or upheaval in their lives. Help them to take each day one at a time as they adjust to a new reality, to be kind to themselves and trust in the comfort of your presence. We ask your encouragement and blessing on our church here at the Vines, on our minister David, and all those who help to bring us your word each week. Give them strength and resilience to continue in their chosen ministries as they offer you thanks and praise. Lord, we know you listen to these thoughts of our innermost hearts as we lay them before you. We ask that you bring us peace of mind and optimism. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Mignon's going to bring our Bible reading shortly from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, and John chapter 3, verses 1 to 18.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." And John, from chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born from above after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned. Those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, pick up thy bag and walk. Hey, time for the children's talk today. And you guys are going to need all the help you can get, I can tell you. So look, each week we try and do something that connects in with the children. And today we are picking up Mark's theme of being united. Now, this is a what? It's a suitcase, yes. Now, our task today is to lift this suitcase from here up to here without using the handles. Now, just come and give it a bit of a test, Dave. Give it a see how heavy or light this thing is. Just a little, not too much, just a little twin. Oh, okay, that's enough. Now, that's pretty heavy. So I think before we lift, we need to do some warm-up exercise. Okay, you two, stand up. I like to start with a bit of a hamstring stretch. Come and get that, yeah, like that, and like that. Other side, one for good luck. Then arms up high, bit of a stretch this way, bit of a stretch that way. I actually like going down like this. Oh, that's a bit tight. Now, when we lift, we got to sit, yeah, like sitting on a chair, and you grab it and lift up. All right. So we're going to take it in turns. Would you like to come and try and lift? Gabby, come on. Your turn to lift the suitcase. You ready? Ready? Are you going to? All right. Well, sometimes in life, we feel like there's this, our burdens, our problems, like the suitcase, are too heavy, aren't they? And by ourselves, it's like really difficult to lift. Now, Dave, do you want to have another crack to see if you can lift this? I reckon you're a young fella. Let's. All right. Oh, okay, that's it. That's it. Put it down. All right. Okay, so we can get some movement. That's good. Now, I wanted to get it up here. So do you think you can lift it from there to here? No. So when we're doing things by ourselves and our lives are like a big problem, it can be like overwhelming. But I reckon when you have someone to help you, I reckon we can do that. Are you ready? Let's see if we can lift this. One, two, three. I think you got the heavy end, actually. Okay, so. So, what the moral of the story was supposed to be, I imagined about four kids around all trying to lift it up. But the idea was, when we are by ourselves and we have problems, it's really hard, isn't it? But the idea is, together, we can often lift our problems and our burdens in a way that makes it easier. And that's part of maybe what Mark will be talking about today, but it's really an opportunity to think about that. So, hey, thanks for helping me out. I hope you haven't done a hamstring or a back. We've got some notices today. I would like to ask Jackie to come up. And while Jackie's coming up, a reminder, next week is Holy Communion. And also today is sausage sizzle. So if you'd like a nice, healthy sausage sizzle out this door at the bottom, you are welcome to come and make a donation. And Jackie.
Yes.
Tell us some wonderful things. So what did I not mention last week, which was very effective?
David didn't give us a plug last week, but we've forgiven him for that.
And what did I forget to plug?
Biggest morning tea.
Biggest morning tea for Cancer Council.
Did we have it? Yes, we did. On
yes, we
Thursday,
did.
We raised $1,414.
No.
And that may still creep up a little bit, yeah, because the donation box is in the foyer. So if you missed out Thursday and you'd like to give a gold coin, the box is out there. But if you need a receipt, see me afterwards. I'd just like to say a really big thank you to everybody who was involved on Thursday. We had a lovely morning. It was well attended. We had some lovely visitors came, not just our craft ladies. So it was a huge success.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've learned a very valuable lesson. Not to advertise anything ever again. Fantastic. But yes, that's good. Look, so again, today we're really privileged to have Mark Dickens with us. Now, Mark and I have been tag teaming this year, and Mark is the chaplain at Prince Alfred College, and so he's been there for 12 years? Yeah, 12 years. And so this year he's been asked by the Synod to go across and support Kangaroo Island. As we know, we've partnered up with Prince Alfred College to support them. So I thought I'd ask a few questions. Mark, here. You hold that one.
Thank you, David.
Hey, look, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. It's something that I've reflected on a fair bit as we've had conversations about, in the respect that it's not your standard typical 9-to-5 type job, as you can imagine. So at one level, things have been slow in terms of, I suppose, that sort of Protestant work ethic where we think we should be working all day, every day, and even more after that sort of thing. Obviously, stepping back into the space has been different. So the way I describe it is very much these first 4 months have been about relationship building. And it takes a while, obviously, to build a rapport and establish a trust with people when you're coming in effectively as a bit of a stranger. And so that's why I guess I describe it as having been slow. But based on that, you can never underestimate what might come out of those relationships that are starting to be built. And probably in the last couple of visits in particular, some of that has really started to show through.
And I guess that one of the questions I was going to ask is, you know, what's been the most difficult and what's been the most rewarding, or I don't know, maybe there's, you know, something that there's a story or something you could share about what you've connected in or enjoyed.
Yeah, look, it's, I suppose, a few things there in terms of, so as you'd probably be aware, I was on Kangaroo Island at the time of the fires and reporting back to David, so both in that that army chaplaincy context. And just to have seen the actual devastation of the island, and I've given Ken a couple of slides. Maybe, Ken, if we can have the first slide.
Kangaroo Island are well known for
that. Yeah, so as you can see here, just total devastation. This was up near in the area where the fires started towards Cape Border. Just completely burnt out. It was like walking on the landscape. 12 months on, 14, 15 months on, if we have the next slide now, that the regrowth and regeneration has been really significant. And so someone coming from that first context into this context where we can see that regrowth might think, wow. But as you can imagine, that wow is overshadowed by the fact that there are still a lot of people doing it tough. Yes, some people have been able to move into new houses. There are still some people, though, that are going to be facing this coming winter still living in their temporary accommodation of a caravan and a pod. So that's trying to be present for them and helping them to maintain a sense of hope and direction and purpose. There's a challenge in that. And I guess for me, one of the highlights in the last few visits has been the fact that, as I was saying, out of that trust, out of that relationship that is being built, some significant sharing, some opening up for some people with concerns, not specifically fire-related, but I guess when we put it into the context that my role there has come about through being there as a result of the fire, it's being able now to be present to some people in some really significant ways as they start to unpack in their lives some trauma that's caused them issues over a long period of time. And so there, as you would well know, a real privilege in ministry to be able to journey alongside of people and to help journey with them through some of that to maybe rediscover some hope and some healing.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And look, I just wanted to ask you a few questions. I'm not sure if there's anything else you wanted to add, but just an opportunity for you to share a little bit about your journey so far and look forward to the message you bring. And I'm not sure if there's anything else you wanted to say at this point.
Yeah. Look, I certainly, on behalf of Prince Alfred College, you know, we're very grateful to you that you have been prepared and the congregation has, by and large, supported you stepping into that space. So I guess for the context of people here, the way this has come about was the Uniting Church South Australia received some grant money back in May last year through the Target bushfire appeal to put someone on the island to work in this disaster recovery space. Obviously last year, in the midst of COVID, that position wasn't able to be advertised. It was late August when they advertised it, but the position wasn't filled. And so come December, the moderator rang me and said, look, Mark, we've got this money. We want to use it. We want to honour the reason that it was given to the church for. We haven't been able to fill the position. Would I be interested? And would Prince Alfred College be supportive? I think it took me all of about 2 seconds to say, well, I'm interested. having a great love and affinity with Kangaroo Island, having camped there a lot back in the late 80s, and pretty sure that the headmaster at PAC was going to be supportive. So obviously that was only part of that picture of being able to make this work. And the key component, another key component of making it work was obviously to have someone to cover me when I was going to be doing my 2 weeks on KI. So having you, David, to be able to step into that space has certainly helped to make this very much possible. And obviously that comes at a bit of a cost to you, the congregation here at the Vines, and that's certainly acknowledged, particularly by the moderator and general secretary. And it's part of that overall picture that enables this to happen. So I think a few weeks ago I might have been saying, look, I'm not sure that I'm really adding that much more value to what's already happening on the island. But then I've reflected and I thought, no, I do bring some points of difference. There are others working in a similar space to what I'm doing. Not to be sexist, they're female. And sometimes men, stoic men, don't necessarily want to have those sorts of conversations with a female. So that is a point of difference that I bring to the work that's happening on Kangaroo Island. And I guess the other point of difference is that I do come under the umbrella of a church. And so whilst I'm not there necessarily to work in the church, people become aware that that there is a link there. And it's out of that that I can see that this position will go through to the end of the year. I think we have built in a review to occur, but from where I stand at the moment and from my experience, it is something that we'll continue with through to December. So it's great to be here today to share with the congregation here. And tomorrow I head back over to Kangaroo Island for another 2 weeks. So,
you certainly well and truly got your sea legs by now. Look, let's just pause and offer a prayer for Mark's ministry on KI and those he's dealing with. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you call us in lots of different ways, in surprising ways, unexpected ways. We thank you that you've sent Mark across the seas, and we ask that you would bless his ministry there, that as he continues to open his life to listen, to care, to share the stories, to just journey with people, that you would continue to give them a capacity to reflect themselves and become aware of their journey and the hope that resides through your love for them. Bless this time in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Andrew.
As we prepare for the message that Mark's going to bring us, which is about Christ and unity, excuse me, and serving, let's join together and sing Servant Song. First verse, we'll sing together. The second verse, men only. Third verse, ladies only. And then the remaining three verses, everybody. Please stand.
Thank you. United in Christ, called to serve. Thanks, Adrian, for slipping that song in. We tried a couple of different songs that Adrian gave me the option of including one, and yeah, they didn't fit in terms of the licensing, the copyright. And that was one that that Adrian chose after I said, "Look, if this next one doesn't work, you pick one." But it is a song that I suppose has been very formative in my life, a song that that we still sing regularly at PAC in our chapel services there. Because it certainly picks up that notion of being there with and for others. And I suppose that's very much shaped my ministry over the years. David and I were at college together. He was two or three years ahead of me. I finished at Park and Wesley College, being ordained at the end of 1996. When did you finish, Dave? 94, so a couple of years difference. And I suppose that sense of being called to serve, to be there with and for others, in many ways has been the unspoken mantra of my ministry. So as I have the opportunity to share here today, I want to tie that in with, I suppose, that the theme that comes out of our readings for what is in our Christian calendar, Trinity Sunday. Celebrated in liturgies of all of our mainstream Western churches on this day, the day that follows the coming of the Spirit to the church at Pentecost, which was marked in the Christian calendar last week, Trinity Sunday brings with it a sense of excitement in its possibilities to unpack. But it also brings that perennial challenge of explaining comprehensibly a doctrine that on the one hand seems so simple, but on the other is almost beyond our grasp. And that's before we get to any of the analogies that might help us unpack this notion of Trinity, one God, three beings. You may well have an illustration that works for you to explain that interrelationship and procession of this three in one. But many attempts are fraught with the resonances of ancient heresies, which might seem somewhat arcane to us now, but were certainly the source of great historical divisions in the church, whose effects are still obvious today. Among them, the attempted illustration that the Trinity is like water in its three forms of an ordinary state, ice and steam. Modalism is the cry of some. Others might use the analogy that it is like a person being both a mother, a daughter, and a sister. partialism, others would say, or that the Son and the Spirit in any way emerge after and are thus subordinate to the Father. Arianism or subordinationism is the cry of others over this particular analogy. We may well resort to the image of the Celtic triquetra, and if we can have the image there, the continuous loop of its design indicating the interconnectedness and yet differentiation of the Godhead. There is a rather amusing explanation of these dangers on the internet. I did think of maybe trying to incorporate that video clip into this message, but chose not to. However, if you do want to have a look at this, St. Patrick's Bad Analogies is the one to look at on YouTube. St. Patrick's Bad Analogies. So we have to somehow engage in some way with the fact that this doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity, on the one hand is not explicitly addressed in Scripture except by tacit acknowledgement, and instead is the process of many centuries of meditation on the Christian faith. But that on the other, it is still nothing short of foundational to our understanding of God. It is foundational to Christianity as a monotheistic religion. We are called, in whatever detail we feel appropriate, to reassert the central driving force of the councils of the early church, specifically the councils of Nicaea in 325 and Constantinople in 381. That Father, Son, and Spirit are mere ousia tre hypostasi, one in essence, distinguished in three persons. Our lectionary texts for today, given in the lectionary for Trinity Sunday, also provide us with an opportunity to focus on a more purposive, goal-directed use of the doctrine, to concentrate on what some call the economic Trinity, that is, the Trinity at work, rather than the immanent Trinity, or the Trinity where we might ask what it is. In other words, the scope is there for us to explore how the interrelationship of the three parts of the Godhead has meaning for the reality of our Christian lives, rather than investigating definitions in detail to satisfy our intellectual pursuits. Focusing on the economic Trinity might also help to answer the questions of those of us who might not be so readily interested in its theological nuances, but instead may well simply ask, what does it mean for me? So we are blessed this week with two of the classic biblical verses, which could be easily repeated by many within the church. Specifically, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, and John chapter 3, verse 16. Not only do both the Isaiah and John passages have Trinitarian overtones and references, they can lead and do lead beyond consideration of the Trinity in different directions. My inclination is always to approach Scripture with what might be called by some as a missional hermeneutic. That is, asking the question, what is this text calling us to do? Thankfully, I think the missional implications of this week's readings are front and centre, whatever approach it is we take. So let me just unpack Isaiah chapter 6 to begin with. Isaiah 6 verses 1 to 8 has often been taken as a precursor of the Trinity, with its triple refrain in verse 3, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then again, the plural response of God in verse 8. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? Furthermore, the revelation of God to Isaiah is seen by some as an anticipation of the revelation of Christ. And Paul believed that the prophecy of Isaiah was indeed the voice of the Holy Spirit. Whilst this does not in any way prove the Trinity, it is important to remember that the councils of Nicaea and Constantinople did not make God a Trinity, if that's a sound conception. God has always been so, and therefore echoes in the Old Testament would not be fanciful. As for the Trinity at work, this is indeed a missional passage where we can identify a sense of vocation in being called by God. It is in those dramatic words of verse 8 that the call of the Trinitarian mission resonates, whereby, as Scottish theologian and biblical scholar James Torrance puts it, the mission of the church is the gift of participating through the Holy Spirit in the Son's mission from the Father to the world. The words of verse 8 have been formative in many a calling towards ministry and other forms of service, including my own. God asks, "Whom shall I send?" Here I am, send me. Notice the background in the passage which precedes God's call and Isaiah's response. The presence of God in the context of worship, the confession of wrongdoing, the receipt of forgiveness, and only then the acceptance of God's call. Whilst this is an inspiring passage for many, particularly those whose life course has been affected by it, it is also important to recognise in dealing with passages of such drama, similar to Paul on the Damascus Road, that for many of us, our own religious experience does not include thunderous voices and winged messengers, as we hear in this Isaiah passage. Perhaps words of acknowledgement are due here that for many, God speaks also in the comparative ordinariness of the everyday life, and also in times of silence and meditation. Our passage this morning from John chapter 3, in its metaphorical language, is one that often leads to discussion, debate, and perhaps confusion as we try to make sense of it, as was the case for Nicodemus in his dialogue with Jesus, as presented to us by the Gospel author in this passage. The centre point of the discussion is Jesus' assertion that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above through the Spirit. Not of the flesh or of the water, often interpreted as being born again. So in Trinitarian terms, the Son is thus emphasising the route to the Father through the Spirit. The unfettered grace of God through the Spirit is emphasised in the analogy of the wind blowing wherever it chooses in verse 8. Confusion arises as Nicodemus channels his thoughts on a literal plane, whereas Jesus is speaking on a transcendent theological plane. Verse 17, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Holding this verse against John 20, verse 21, set in the context of Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to his disciples who were behind locked doors. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." It's here that we are called back to this missional hermeneutic. What is this text saying to us today? The mission of God, I believe, is not advanced if disciples, followers of the way of Jesus, friends of Christ, remain behind locked doors. In the sending of Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there is an interrelationship with one another and the Father within the Trinity. That interrelationship might provide us with a model of personhood and church life, which is rooted in the divine nature. That's part of what it means to be for us to be created in the image of God. But we are called. We are called not just to sit amongst ourselves, but to go out into the world. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. United in Christ, called to serve. This then lends a missional impetus to our own actions as Christians, which are strongly reflected in our readings today. Indeed, as I've suggested, both Isaiah and John are often quoted as two of the classic missional texts founded on the notion of sending. It is upon us, individually and collectively, to engage in an exploration of what it is that we are sent to do. The call will be different for each of us. Some of us will share a similar call. Others will receive a call that will be unique. Uniting the Trinity and mission as central themes, the words of Daniel Miglior, theologian and author, may offer us a helpful summary of our readings this week. God loves in freedom, lives in communion, and wills creatures to live in a new community of mutual love and service. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. And from Isaiah, our Isaiah reading, verse 8, "Then I heard the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?'" And if we can have the slide, please, Ken. "Whom shall God send now?
Here we are, Lord. Let us hear your voice calling us, and we will say, 'Here am I, send me.'"
Amen. Let's join together in song as we sing "The Great Southland."
Thank you, Mark. This song doesn't require an introduction. Please stand.
Thank you.
And so as we prepare to go from this time and place of worship today, may we commit ourselves, and to use a paraphrase of the words of John Wesley, may we commit ourselves to do all the good we can, in all the ways we can, in all the places we can, to all the people we can, for as long as ever we can. Go in peace, to love and serve the Lord as we love and serve one another.